You are listening to. First Gen Teachers Lens.
Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of the First Gen Teacher Lens podcast. In this episode, I talk about growth mindset in the classroom with Brian Martin. Brian Martin gives some great insight on the importance of building growth mindset for our students and also for ourselves as well. Brian Martin is also the host of the Teaching Champions podcast. Be sure to check out his podcast wherever listening platforms are available. And as always, don't forget to like and subscribe to the First Gen Teacher Lens podcast. And as always, I'm your host, Mr. C. Stay tuned. Peace.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. You can find out more at teachbetter.com/podcasts. Now let's get back to the episode.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the First Gen Teacher Lens podcast. I'm your host, Mr. C. Today, we have another great episode, another guest. His name is Brian Martin. He hosts an educational podcast as well. Here he is to introduce himself.
Hey, Alex, I appreciate you having me on. I love your podcast and what you're doing right now. And my name is Brian Martin. I'm a second grade teacher in Western New York, and I've been teaching for about 19 years. And as Alex says, I'm the host of the Teaching Champions podcast. And just super excited to be on today.
Yeah, we've been planning this for a while. I know we've been going back and forth and planning, trying to get each other's schedule. Western New York, man. I had good times, Western. As some listeners know, I went to undergrad in Western New York, good old SUNY Geneseo. Very cold, a lot of snow. A lot of downstate New Yorkers don't know what snow is unless they're in Western New York. That was the old kind of stigma that we a lot of Long Islanders and city kids got when we went up there, which is, it's true, snows like no other, like in Western New York.
Absolutely.
But it's great to have you on. I do have a 5 set of questions for those listening. This episode is going to be on mindset, growth mindset, and how students can develop that and how we as teachers can facilitate that. So Brian, I do have 5 questions. My first question is, a lot of people, you know, we hear that term growth mindset in the educational field, but what does that mean to you?
Yeah, you know, growth mindset is near and dear to my heart. I think it's extremely important. And it's something that I think when I was younger, I struggled with a lot. And, you know, we have that fixed mindset where we only think we're can only be so good that we put limitations on ourselves. And that's something that I try and bring into the classroom. Like, how can I instill that belief in my students that they can achieve whatever they want, that they're not stagnant, that what they believe is if they put in the work, if they push themselves, if they're willing to accept feedback and try and not be scared to fail, that is huge. And I think growth mindset is that there's very little limitations, that if we put in that work, and it's our relationship with failure. I think so many people, especially in the society we live in with social media, where you open up social media and everything is perfect, that we become afraid to fail sometimes, that our relationship with failure is, it's a bad thing. But what I'm trying to do within the classroom is make it a good thing. And I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and this gentleman said that he's a presenter and goes around and he's teaching to other educators. And he said, what he tries to instill in everyone is to fail first, or fail fast and learn fast, that we learn from our failures. And so that's what I'm trying to bring into the classroom. That's what I want, not just the academic standards, but I want my students to walk away knowing that failure's a good thing. That's how we grow.
Yeah, I think you're right. And there is this, I want to go back to one comment that you made, because I think it is really enlightening about social media. You know, social media is I always give the analogy of a knife, right? It can, you can use a knife, right, in, you know, as for, you know, cutting stuff like vegetables as kitchen, right? Also, a knife can be used as a weapon. So it's like a double-edged sword, right? Because there are facets of social media that are like, you know, you think about, my students are super into TikTok influencers. And there's this idea, and now they're on Netflix too with these series, like, you know, My TikTok Mansion or TikTok House or whatever. And they're living these lucrative lives through the lens of, you know, social media. However, behind the scenes, there's like a lot of taxing emotions that come with, like, you know, creating content. And it's all not this Cinderella-esque, picturesque situation, right? Because there are things that you don't see, like people struggling, right? And that is, for me, right, I want my students to see that, right, even academically, socially, how can I grow even in those aspects? Because a lot of people think in terms of growth mindset, right, it's tied with academics wholeheartedly, like how can you push yourself from you know, this standard, right, at this point, right, to exceptional or exemplary, right? So I think you really put into in terms of like the context of now, where we are thinking about the real facts of what having growth mindset means, not only academically and socially, right? Because the thing is, it goes hand in hand. Like a lot of things that we think of in school, we can apply, you know, those, I want to say, those grand concepts like growth mindset into our daily lives. Like maybe you fail every day. It's like a cycle. Like I talk about, was it the hero's journey with my kids? It's the same cyclical thing where, hey, you go through trials and tribulations. Like Luke Skywalker wasn't Luke Skywalker before, you know, he kind of gained those skills. But that was a good point. Like, I definitely liked how you tied that in. I'm going to move on to my next question, which you kind of talked about it in your last comment. But what are some ways teachers can help instill growth mindset, whether it be in the classroom or help students carry that outside to the classroom?
Yeah, you know, I think number one is we model it, how we show up, and do we having an honest conversation. So my students are a little bit younger than your students. You know, mine are typically 7 or 8 years old, but I'm still sharing them personal stories that are appropriate for them. And I talk a lot about how I fail or struggles that I've had and what I'm working towards. And, you know, I like how you brought up the other day or just now about it's not just academic, but it's social. One of the things that I have inside my classroom is we have a little mantra that we say every single morning. And, you know, we start off the day and the kids get together and we say, you know, we call ourselves the Superstar Scholars. We're 7 years old, so they're down with it. And we go every single day, the Superstar Scholars, make mistakes, show grit, work hard, ask questions, be grateful, accept feedback. And there's a little more that goes into that. But the other day, this past week, I was out and there was a situation that happened behaviorally. Mm-hmm. And so I come back in on Friday and I try and give them, you know, a little pep talk that goes along with that. And we were talking about make mistakes, and I want my kids to learn making mistakes is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that behavior. I didn't mention any students' names, but I brought it into context. And I said, you know, making mistakes is just not academics. We make mistakes behaviorally. I said, myself, the teacher's assistant that's in the classroom, we make mistakes every single day, but we learn from them. That I'm going to make mistakes for the rest of my life. And the most important part is that I learn from it. So I think it's the conversations that we have. How do we model it? What do we celebrate? You know, we celebrate so many times when a student does success, you know, whether they score real well or they're making gains, but do we celebrate when they fail? One of my favorite stories, because I like to go outside the teaching profession and look, what do business leaders do? What do other people, you know, business leaders, athletes, people that are ultra successful? And, you know, a couple that I absolutely love listening to is Sarah Blakely, and I believe her husband's Jesse Itzler, if I pronounce his last name correctly. But Sarah Blakely, I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she's the owner of Spanx and self-made billionaire. And I've listened to several podcasts, and it's absolutely amazing because she broke into that industry, the Spanx industry, when it was male dominated. And the hustle and grit that she had to show is unbelievable when she talks about it. And she tells the story that when she was a kid, what really helped her is she would come home from school. Her and her brother would come home from school. They would have family dinner and they'd be sitting around the dinner table. And her father, she said her father wouldn't ask, you know, did you get 100 on that spelling test? What was successful today? That he would look at her and he would say, what did you fail at? What did you fail at today? And she said that it got to the point where if she didn't fail at something, if she didn't try something new, that he honestly got angry, that he wasn't happy with that, that he didn't care about the successes, more on what did she try and what did she fail at? And it gets to that when we said, you know, fail fast, learn fast.
Mm-hmm.
And that mindset, she said that's helped her so much. And I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and it actually brought her up. And it said in her business, one of the things that she's found successful is that she brings all her business leaders together on Friday, and they have a Friday oops party. And she said that they go around the table and share something that they made a mistake on, something that they struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's doing is normalizing failure. It's right. Being open, because when we're not open, when we're scared to make mistakes, we stop putting ourselves out there. And I think it's not just with the students who struggle. When we talk about growth mindset, the students get labeled early on that, you know, academically I can't succeed. I think it also goes with our top students. And I see it sometimes with, you know, I'm in a rural district, pretty small, where they're top of the line, you know, academically. But if my students went to New York City, to Queens, you know, all of a sudden that competition is way up there. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be around other students that are just academically the same level or way above them. And what happens to my students if they believe they're smart? And we want them to believe they're smart, but they right. get into that fixed mindset mm-hmm. where they come up against some adversity and all of a sudden you walk into the room and there are so many people that are just as equal or better than you.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do?
Right.
Are you, because they say with that fixed mindset, you don't push yourself because you're afraid of looking like weak or not as capable or not at that top level. So I want my bottom students, I want the top students to embrace that, to embrace making mistakes. So we're going to celebrate it and we're going to cherish it just as much as we do the positive things that are happening.
Right. I think you're right. You hit something that I kind of want to expand upon is, you know, what happens when, you know, your upper echelon, top tier students, right? Mm-hmm. If they have this right, because it ties into my next question, right? If they stay, right, let's say you know you have a great set of students this year, like a lot of them, maybe one cohort in particular, a lot of them is like you've never seen like a class like this high before, but right, but it does get to them. Same thing with my kids, where how can I continually push myself, right? And not mm-hmm. hit that kind of glass ceiling, where how can I break that glass ceiling and continue to flourish and push myself, whether it be academically or because you're right, even in like in areas in like New York City or across the New York State, right? Especially when you think about like these summative assessments, right? You mm-hmm. get compared to different areas, like, oh, how did you do compared to like Westchester, Western New York, right? And then like, mm-hmm. you know, it goes into like the average. And then sometimes it does, because the kids are young, right? Even
right.
your kids are especially young. They're like, so, and we're so in tune with this idea, or fixated on this idea of standardized testing. So like how that pushes into, right? The whole fixed mindset, I failed, like I can't get any better, right?
Right.
That's not the case, right? Right. What, okay, you may have not done well. What aspects did you do good well in? Now that you did well on those and you know you did well, fix what you haven't done well in. And that's where, you know, you need to push constantly your students to like push themselves, like, hey, you know this content that I taught you, right? Mm-hmm. You're just slipping up here, and here's why. And then you kind of see like an aha moment where they're just like, oh, this, I forgot to cite this whatever in my race response, and when I'm talking about short response writing. But my next question is kind of talking about it, is how can teachers help students who are stuck on a fixed mindset? Because I feel you touched upon that earlier, where you were just talking about, you know, it shouldn't be only your top tier students, but it should be everybody that like you're pushing for this growth mindset. But you did made a poignant point about top tier students sometimes, because they feel they're so good at something that mm-hmm. they get stuck in like being good at something, and then that becomes a fixed mentality. I don't know if you want to elaborate about that.
Yeah, no, I think that it's easy to do when they get stuck in that. So, you know, putting them in situations where it's difficult for them, mm-hmm. I think it's important. I think finding that internal dialogue, what is the story that they're telling themselves? You know, what is the story they're telling themselves when they're successful? What is the story that they're telling themselves when they're not successful? And I think you just brought up a good point about pointing out to them what they've learned. I think, mm-hmm. you know, recognizing and celebrating the process.
Right.
Because learning is a process, and not yep. getting so fixated on that end goal, but, you know, certain small goals along the way, putting in the work, that daily work, understanding that learning's not a straight path upward, that there's going to be ups and downs mm-hmm. and everything. And like you said, taking a step back, understanding what did I learn? And where am I messing up at? And what do I have to do to fix that? Mm-hmm. And I think it's a lot of, you know, recognizing their internal dialogue, recognizing their self-talk, having conversations with them. Sometimes we can get focused, and it's easy to focus on the academic piece, but what mm-hmm. about that self-talk piece? What are we doing to help them tell their stories and recognize the stories that they're telling themselves? Mm-hmm. And, you know, John Gordon, he will always say that he's talking a lot about positivity, but I think the same goes with a growth mindset, is mm-hmm. that you got to weed and feed and feed and weed. And, you know, we got to weed out those negative thoughts, because you have negative thoughts, I have negative thoughts, and that's going to determine a lot about what I'm going to go after, how hard I'm going to pursue things,
right.
You know, my educational journey. So we got to weed out and help them recognize those negative thoughts. And we want to feed and help them build up that internal dialogue that they're having. So
right. you're absolutely right. Like, I think that self-talk is especially needed now more than ever, where, you know, I want to say society's in turmoil right now. Like there's a lot of stuff going on that mm-hmm. like, if you told me, like when I was in student teaching, like, hey, you're gonna be teaching remote and in person, and there's only one of you, there's no cloning machines yet, I'd have been like, what? And then, cause like you really had to persevere, and like, you had to convey that to your students. Like, we are all persevering together, mm-hmm. right? Even now where things are semi, I want to say normal, for my school, it's like, because we're back in my actual building. I've talked about this in podcasts before. I was one of the few schools where we were completely remote. And that was a daunting task because, like, a lot of the kids were adapting to being at home. And, you know, there were issues with that. But you have to convey that self-talk to you. Like, of course, we are human. We all have negative emotions. Like, I'm not going to tell you we don't have bad days. We have bad days. Like, teachers have bad days. But it's good to see and convey that on an interpersonal level for students, because then that builds a rapport further. And I feel that will seep into, like, you as a facilitator, as a teacher, helping them develop that growth mindset. And, like, I understand and get in that level of understand why you have a fixed mindset. Here's why. Cause, like, I've went through the same thing too, because, again, like, life is all about trials and tribulations, failures, mm-hmm. successes, right? If you sucked at something, it just means, like, you're just starting to get really good at it. I saw that in, like, a meme, but but yeah, it's totally true. Like, it's cliche, but it's so true. Like you do the most simplest test, like riding a bike, right? First, starting your training wheels, and you might fall. That's why you get elbow pads, helmets, right? But at the same time, like, eventually you'll get used to it. You'll get used to riding a bike by yourself without the training wheels. It's the same process. The analogy is, like, very spot on in terms of, like, you know, failing successes, right? First you learn how to do it, then it's a continual process.
And pointing it out to them. And I think that the analogy of riding a bike is great. You know, we want to point that out to our students. And, like you said, I was just like you, I taught remotely for a whole year, for a year and a half. Yeah. So I know, you know, the same boat as you, and having that shared experience with the students, but also pointing out to them, you know, the struggles. And, you know, you can have a growth mindset, and it's not easy because, you know, teaching remotely, there was a lot.
Nights
of frustration, and how do we handle those frustrations? Yeah. How do we handle that overwhelm? And
you're absolutely right. Sorry, I didn't mean. I'm so caught. I've never spoken to another teacher that was remote, so I'm, like, caught off guard right now.
Yeah, no. I heard you say that on a podcast the other day.
Yeah,
absolutely. So yeah, we're a year and a half remote. Just
really,
like,
wow. That's complete. I didn't mean to cut you off, by the way.
No.
I'm completely, like, in awe, because there are so many things that I was really frustrated with being online for a year and a half, like the Wi-Fi being a constant problem, mm-hmm. nobody talking sometimes.
It's almost like you're talking out to the abyss sometimes.
Yeah,
when
that's
it's
how
super
exactly
quiet.
That's how exactly I felt, like, where I was just like, and then it got to a point where I was making the kids that had the camera laugh, because, like, I made a paper Ouija board, and I was on, like we're on now on like on camera and on Zoom for the podcast. Listen, we're using Zoom to record, but and then I was like, is anybody to talk today? And then I went through it with them, and, like, this one girl, I'll never forget her face, because she was like, I was always on and talking. Some days I carry the class, but I couldn't. Some days, Mr. C, I needed a break.
Right.
But she was like, you had me laughing. But, like, that's having a growth mindset for me, is making it worthwhile and interesting for yourself. Because if you're so fixated on the negatives, right, you'll forget about the positives that are outlined for you there. Like, there's still interaction, right? You're still teaching the content.
Yep.
You are facilitating the best way that you can, which goes into my next question. What activities have you seen that foster growth mindset amongst students?
Yeah, you know, I think STEAM activities are phenomenal. I was a basketball coach for over a decade. And, you know, athletics are a great way to promote for a growth mindset. We had a really good, and I was assistant coach. We had a really good varsity program. And they would make a deep run into the playoffs every single year. And we'd always have conversations with them about making mistakes, that we wanted them to go out and make mistakes all the way up. And if we were in the state championship game, we just want you to make the least amount of mistakes at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's about showing that growth. And but it's just not for athletics. We talked about behaviors. You know, just we talked about in the general sense. I don't necessarily know that it has to be a certain activity. I think it has to happen daily. Mm-hmm. I think it happens in the conversations. I think it happens in the modeling. I think it happens in what we choose to celebrate and just making it that normal piece of the classroom.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely like you make it a part of your classroom culture, your classroom environment, mm-hmm. where it's just ingrained and embedded growth mindset. You may not hear it verbatim, but it's there. Like, kids are pushing themselves and you definitely see it. And especially, like, I think athletics or even mixing the two, your classroom, where I've seen mm-hmm. teachers on TikTok and like Instagram, where they create these learning stations. And mm-hmm. I think that's the best way. Cause like the way I think this one teacher I'm thinking about, she made it into a Starbucks cafe and it was mathematics and it was going over fractions. And it was really cool. Like, and it was really intentional. I actually loved it. And like, she obviously, like, you know, socially distanced everything. But she had different types of liquids that they use at Starbucks? Like, oh, mm-hmm. To make this drink, you need 1/4 of this, 1/4 of that, 1/3 of this. And I was like, that's really freaking smart.
Yeah, that's really creative.
Because, and then, right, if you, she forced the students to make a mistake on one because, like, oh, now you're giving it to the customer. This is how much money you lost if you run a business. So you got to be mindful of, like, you know, your mistakes in the business, because every time you release a drink, right, that's money out the door. I was like, wow, that's a good way to put it. And it, the kids gravitated towards, because, like, one, I think she had a class that just, like, absolutely loved Starbucks. Like, there was one specific class where it was like a really, really good hit. Uh-huh. And two, it was just interactive, where the kids are, like, you know, moving kinesthetically and mm-hmm. are visually seeing, like, how the process of, like, mathematics was working. Which leads me to my final question is, you know, we're talking about experiences and, like, you know, stationary learning. How can past experiences affect a student's mindset?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think for all of us, whether it's a student, whether it's the teacher, because the stories that we tell ourselves, they shape our life, and it helps how we view ourselves and the dialogue, that internal dialogue, what we're saying about ourselves as a learner, what we say about ourselves as a reader, a writer, a mathematician, and you know, our stories, they influence our thoughts influence our behaviors, and our behaviors are going to influence our actions. Right. So how those kids view themselves is huge. So, you know, helping and teaching our students about being self-aware, mm-hmm. teaching them that who they are now isn't who they're going to be in the future, that right. they don't have to be that way, that they can grow. So the other day inside my classroom, my one young one, he was being pretty hard on himself mm-hmm. emotionally. So I tried to pull him aside, and I read a book by John Acuff called Soundtracks. And it was all about that internal dialogue. And mm-hmm. He said, we all, you know, we have thousands of thoughts a day. And what we have to do is we have to filter out that noise. And so he said four things, you know, is it helpful? Is the words, that thought that I'm listening to, is it helpful? Is it kind? Is it true? And is it true 100% of the time? And, you know, so we had a conversation about that. And we were talking about, you know, you saying that about yourself, is that helping you in any way? Is it being kind to you? You know, is it true? And, it's something that has to be done over and over and over again. It has to become automatic mm-hmm. in our students' lives. But, you know, having those conversations to help them shape those stories, because what we tell ourselves is going to influence so much. So, and the words that we use towards them, how we treat them, I think we have to be cognizant of the labels that we place on the students.
Right, right. We have to be cognizant of, you know, the labels we, because then that gets to the students, right? You know, I went to one school where I thought it was brilliant, actually, where they eliminated, like, you know, the upper level classes, and like everybody was mixed together, which is good, because like in certain schools, you know, you have like your and like for middle school and high schools, you have like your, you know, your upper level, like Regents classes, your advanced Regents classes, your AP classes. And like that definitely is a label that for students they gravitate towards, right? And then sometimes it kind of creates this status quo structure where it's just like, you know, the social status. Oh, I'm in the smart class, I'm in the regular class, I'm in this class, right? So it's always like blank this class, like I'm always in this different subcategory, right? So I think those experiences do, like you're saying, like right, they become kind of fixated, right, with them. But having that internal dialogue, right, can really push you, and it is bountiful, because like, right, it's that self-talk, right, hyping yourself up, right? And even you internally with your students, like just talking to them, why do you feel this way? Okay, I understand your perspective, right? Here's a similar, again, just like we were talking about, a similar situation that I've been, or I know that like I've seen similar students going through, that doesn't have to, you know, affect you currently, right? And then I liked how you brought up, you know, those questions from that book that you read, right? How is this helpful? Is this true 100% time? Because especially for me, it goes into like, oh, I stink at this, right? And in part of like the curriculum, I don't get this concept. I don't get the concept of improper fractions, right?
Right. Well,
just because doesn't mean you get it, like doesn't mean you'll never get it. It's not true 100% in time. You may, on look at the last worksheet we did, you got X amount of questions right. That shows that you have some understanding of it. So you're you're very, very in tune in terms of like how those past experience, because it does get to these kids. And you know, for our kids, they're still molding and growing. So those experiences definitely do affect them. But you know, we can only strive to push, right, growth mindset and encourage them each and every day, day in and day out.
Absolutely.
But I want to thank you for being a guest on the First Gen Teacher Lens podcast. I look forward to doing another episode if you ever want to again, but it was a great podcast episode.
Yeah. You know, thanks so much for having me on, Alex. You do a fantastic job. And you're doing great things for your community. And keep it up, my friend.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for having listened to the First Gen Teacher's Lens. We'll see you here next time.